إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد أيها الإخوة في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Bulugh al-Maram by Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani, still on Salah. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل أخرجه مسلم. أبو هريرة reported that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة, the best salah after the compulsory salah is Salatul Layl, the prayer of the night. That is, when we look at the rawatib after the compulsory prayers, the rawatib are very important. Two rakah before Zuhr or four rakah before Zuhr, two rakah after Zuhr or four after, two rakah after Salatul Maghrib, two after Salatul Isha, and two rakah before Salatul Fajr, that is rakah al Fajr. These are very, very important salawat. But when we compare them to Qiyamul Layl, the prayer of the night, so based on this hadith, we will say Qiyamul Layl is better than the rawatib. However, some scholars have the opinion that the rawatib are better than Qiyamul Layl. But this hadith makes it clear that Qiyamul Layl is better. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith says, أفضل الصلاة بعد الفريضة صلاة الليل, the best salah after the compulsory one is Salatul Layl. So this is to encourage us to observe Salatul Layl, to observe Qiyamul Layl. And this starts after Salatul Isha. Once one observes Salatul Isha, the time for Qiyamul Layl has started. The prayer of watch of the night has started till the time of Fajr. وعن أبي أيوب الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال الوتر حق على كل مسلم من أحب أن يوتر بخمس فليفعل ومن أحب أن يوتر بثلاث فليفعل ومن أحب أن يوتر بواحدة فليفعل رواه الأربعة إلا الترمذي وصححه ابن حبان ورجح النسائي وقفه. الإمام أبو داود likewise نسائي ابن ماجه they all reported apart from الإمام الترمذي Ibn Hibban also reported this, and Al-Imam al-Nasa'i said it is mawquf on Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, not the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But others are of the opinion that it is authentically traced to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, al-witru haqqun, al-witru haqqun, that is the odd number of raka that one observes at night after Salatul Isha is haqqun ala kulli muslimin. Majority of the scholars say the meaning of haqqun ala kulli muslimin is muta'akkidun ala kulli muslimin. That is something that is emphatic on every Muslim. However, the Hanafis, they said haqqun here means wajib, that is, it's compulsory. It's compulsory. So they take it to mean compulsory. But most scholars say the haqqun here does not mean compulsory, rather it means muta'akkid, something that is emphatic. Why? Because the man who approached the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to tell him what is compulsory or what was compulsory on him, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam let the man know that apart from the five daily prayers, so there is no any other salah that is compulsory on him. Because the man asked, "Hal alayya ghayruha?" Is there another one compulsory on me? The man said, "La." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La, illa tatawwa," unless if you want to embark on supererogatory salah. So from this, it is said that it is the compulsory salawat, the five daily prayers, that are compulsory. So, and we know that Salatul Jumu'ah will take the place of Salatul Dhuhr on Friday. So that this is what is compulsory. So this is what has led majority of the scholars to interpret this hadith, al-witru haqqun, to mean that the haqqun there is not compulsory. So the haqqun there will mean muta'akkid, something that is emphatic, that is expected of every Muslim to observe and not to neglect. To the extent that Al-Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah was reported to have said that لا يتركها إلا رجل السوء. That is, no one abandons witr except an evil person. So to tell us how emphatic it is. So if somebody abandons, he doesn't pray Salat witri, so that is a sign of what? Of evil in that person. So, but the Hanafi, they see to be wajib. You see, to the watch, to the wajibah, something that is compulsory, that one must observe. Wallahu a'lam, I think the interpretation of the majority is more correct. That the word haqqun here, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, is not that it is compulsory. Man ahabba yutira li khamsin. Now we said witru means odd. And when we say odd, that can be one, it can be three, it can be five, it can be seven, it can be nine. So witru means odd. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, man ahabba an yutira bi khamsin, whoever wants to make his own witru five raka, falyaf'al. He can do that. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ يُوْتِرَ بِثَلَاثٍ, and whoever wants to make his witr to be three raka, فَلْيَفْعَلْ, he can also do. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ يُوْتِرَ بِوَاحِدَةٍ, whoever wants to make his own witr just a raka, فَلْيَفْعَلْ, he can also do that. So it is clear that witr means odd. Witr means odd. So if somebody decides that he wants to observe just one rakah, after Salatul Isha, for instance. So there is nothing wrong with this, according to what most scholars are upon, contrary to what Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah and some are upon, that one should not observe one rakah. But if you go by this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one can say that one rakah is permissible. One rakah is permissible. Three rakah is also okay. When we say three rakah is okay, that is without making them shafa and witr. What we are used to is to observe two rakah and make taslim. Then we observe what? One rakah. So that is just like what? Making it one rakah. Because when we observe two rakah, we make taslim. But if we want to make it three at a go, so this is okay. The first rakah, second rakah, no tashahud. Then one rises to the third rakah. Observe the third rakah, then he will make tashahud and make taslim. Three rakah at a go, one tashahud and one taslim. This is also okay. Just as we can observe one rakah and what? One tashahud, one taslim. This is okay. So we can also observe three rakah at a go, one tashahud and what? One taslim. Likewise, we can do that with five rakah. We can observe five rakah at a go. First rakah, second rakah, third rakah, fourth rakah, fifth rakah. One tashahud and one taslim. So we can also do that, as we have it in other ahadith, we can do that with seven rakah. Just observe seven rakah at a go. Observe seven rakah at a go. So one tashahud, one taslim. So, but if you want to observe nine rakah, the practice of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that you observe eight rakah at a go, then you will do tashahud, but you will not do taslim. You will rise to the ninth rakah. Then, having observed it, you will do tashahud, then you will make taslim. That is two tashahud and one taslim. That was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if it has to do with what? With nine rakah. That was the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But seven rakah, it will be at a go. Five rakah, three rakah and one rakah. So we can as well do the one that you are used to. Three rakah plus two taslim. We'll make tashahud and watch. We'll make tashahud, make taslim, and we'll rise to the third rakah. We'll also make tashahud and make taslim. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam encouraged us to observe witr. Al-witr haqqun ala kulli muslim. Witr is emphatic on every Muslim. Man ahabba yutira bi khamsin falyaf'al. Whoever loves to observe witr with five rakah, he should do. Waman ahabba yutira bi thalathin. Whoever wants to observe witr with three rakah falyaf'al, he should do. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّنْ يُوْتِرَ بِوَاحِدَةٍ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. Whoever loves to observe witr with one rakah فَلْيَفْعَلْ, he should do. رواه الأربعة إلا الترمذي وصححه ابن حبان ورجح نسائي وقفة. أفوله 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 ẹfúnlẹ̀ ẹfúnlẹ̀ ẹni ẹṣẹ́ ẹfúnlẹ̀ deliberately wọ́n ṣe nǹkan ẹni. وعن علي بن ابي طالب رضي الله عنه قال ليس الوتر بحتم كآيهة المكتوبة. Witru is not compulsory like the compulsory salah, ولكن سنها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It is sunnah that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم as Lidan, رواه النسائي والترمذي وحسنه وللحاكم والحاكم وصححه. So this hadith was reported by Nasa'i, Trimidi, who said it is Hasan, and Al-Hakim said it is authentic, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, witru is not compulsory, ka'ayat al-maktuba, like the compulsory salah. This is the evidence, or one of the evidences of the majority of the scholars who have said witru is not compulsory, contrary to the Hanafis, as said earlier. وعن جابر رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قام في شهر رمضان ثم انتظروه. Jabir رضي الله عنه said the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم observed قيام الليل in the month of Ramadan ثم انتظروه من القابلة. Then the following night the people were expecting him to come and observe the same thing. فَلَمْ يَخُرُجْ. He didn't come out. وقال, and he said, إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَنْ يُكْتَبَ عَلَيْكُمْ. He said, I didn't come out because I was afraid that this might be made compulsory on you. So this is another evidence that it is not compulsory to observe Qiyam al-Layl or to observe the witr. إِنِّي خَشِيتُ أَنْ يُكْتَبَ عَلَيْكُمْ الْوِتْرُ رَوَاهُ ابْنُ شِبَّانَ. So, and this supports the view of the majority of the scholars. وَعَنْ خَارِجَ بِنْ حُذَافَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَدَّكُمْ بِصَلَاةٍ هِيَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ مِنْ حُمْرِ النَّعَمْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided you with a prayer which is better for you than red camels. The Arabs, they used to value red camels. So, Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling them the importance of the night prayer, the witru prayer. He said, "Ya khairu lakum min humri an-na'am," is better for you than the red camels. Qulna ma hiya ya Rasulullah. Kharija bin Hudhafa said, we said, O Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what is it? Qala al-witru. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-witru, ma bayna salati al-isha ila tulu' al-fajr. It is between salati al-isha and tulu' al-fajr, and the emergence of the true dawn. You can observe it anytime from after salati al-isha and before salati al-subh. رواه الخمسة إلا النسائي وصححه الحاكم. The five reported these except النسائي, that is الإمام أحمد, الإمام أبو داود, الترمذي, ابن ماجة. So these are four plus النسائي, making five. So but النسائي did not report it, وصححه الحاكم, and الحاكم reported it and he said it is صحيح. So this tells us the time of Al-Witru. Al-Witru is between Salatul Isha, that is after we have observed Salatul Isha, till time of watch of Fajr. Scholars, some of them have the opinion that one can observe it before Salatul Isha. This is ascribed to Imam Shafi'i alayhi rahmatullah. But if we go by the hadith, it is established that that position will be incorrect. Now one may ask, how is one going to observe it before Salatul Isha? For instance, if somebody has forgotten that he has not observed Salatul Isha, he feels that he has observed Salatul Isha, then he says, let me observe my witr. Then he observes the witr. So later he remembers that he has not observed Salatul Isha. So if he observes Salatul Isha, are we going to count the witr for him? So because he has observed the witr during the time of Salatul Isha, only that he has not observed it after Salatul Isha. So if we want to go by what majority of the scholars are upon and which is the correct view, we will say we'll have to repeat that witr, because the witr must not come before Salatul Isha. Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said it is ma bayna salatil isha. He didn't say ma bayna waqtil salatil isha. He said ma bayna salatil isha ila tulu'il fajri. Between salatil isha and watch and fajri. So this is the view of the majority of the scholars and is with ya. Opinion. So the one who observes his witr before Salatul Isha will have to watch, repeat it, because it has to come after Salatul Isha. So if one observes Salatul Isha, one can watch, observe Salatul Witr. One can observe Salatul Witr. Whether it is time for Isha normally or not. How? Take for instance, at times one may have the opportunity to do Jamr. Maybe it rains, for instance, and in the masjid, you do jambu in the masjid. After praying Salatul Maghrib, the Imam prays Salatul Al-Isha during the time of what? Maghrib, while the actual time of Salatul Isha has not come in. So immediately one can bring what? One's witr, because the hadith says what? Is after Salatul Al-Isha. So one can bring it, despite the fact that the actual time, the real time of Salatul Isha hasn't come in. But because we're allowed to do Jamu in a situation like that, so since we have done Jamu, so we can bring what? Our witr. We don't need to wait till the actual time of what? Of Salatul Al-Isha. So with this, we can say what? At times, when we observe our witr within the time of Salatul Isha, it may not be correct because we have not observed Salatul Isha. And at times, when we observe Salatul Witri before Salatul Isha, it may be before the time of Salatul Isha, it may be permissible. Why? Because we have observed Salatul Isha, because we do Jamr. وروى أحمد عن عمرو بن شعيب عن أبي عن جده نحوه. الإمام أحمد reported similar thing from عمرو بن شعيب بن محمد بن عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص. So he reported similar thing from his grandfather, that is عمرو بن شعيب and أبي, his father. The father is what? شعيب. عن جده, from his grandfather. His grandfather is Muhammad. So some of the scholars said the grandfather being referred to here is Abdullah bin Amr bin al-Asi. So and that's why some will say the is authentic, some will say it's not authentic. Because if we say it is Abdullah bin Amr bin al-Asi that is being referred to, he's a companion. So and that will be referring to what? Shu'aib. Shu'aib from his own grandfather, so that he met his grandfather, Abdullah bin Amr bin Asi. But when we say it is Amru, that is being referred to, it means he's talking about his own grandfather, Muhammad. So which will mean there is what? A kind of break in the chain of the hadith. Wallahu a'lam, the person being referred to here is Shu'ayb from his own grandfather, who is Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Ati, and he met him. When Abdullah ibn Buraida and Abi, from Abdullah the son of Buraida, from his father Buraida, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-witru haqqun, witru is emphatic. فَمَا لَمْ يُوتِرِ, whoever does not observe witr, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, he is not part of us. أَخْرَجَهُ أَبُو دَاوُدُ, Abu Dawood reported this, بِسَنَدٍ لَيِّنْ, with a weak chain. وَصَحَاهُ الْحَاكِمُ, الْحَاكِمُ said it is sahih. وَلَهُ شَهِدٌ ضَعِيفٌ, and أَبِي أُرَيْرَةَ عِنْدَ أَحْمَدٍ, and it also has a weak support from the hadith of Abu Uraira, which is contained in the Musnad of Al-Imam Ahmad. Now some scholars use this other one to corroborate the first one, to grade it as what? As something that is authentic. Why some said it's not authentic, both chains are weak. Now, if we say, we say it is authentic, so the meaning of Al-Witru Haqqun, as you have said, the haqqun here will be emphatic, not that it is compulsory, based on other hadiths that you have mentioned. فَمَنْ لَمْ يُوتِرْ, whoever does not observe witru, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, is not one of us. If you want to consider this part of the hadith, one may say something that is compulsory, because for him to have said what, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا, is not one of us. But the scholars, some of those who have authenticated it, he said, فَلَيْسَ مِنَّا here means that he is not really treading our path with respect to what this. Not that the person is sinful. Not that the person is sinful. Wallahu a'lam. When Aisha radiallahu anha qalat, from Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, she said, Ma kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yazidu fi Ramadan wala fi ghayrihi ala 11 raka'ah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will not exceed 11 rak'ah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. He will not exceed 11 rak'ah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. Yusalli arba'an, he will observe 4 rak'ah. He will observe 4 rak'ah. Fala tas'al an husni inna. He said, don't ask about the beauty of these 4 rak'ahs. Watulihinna, and their length, that is, he will beautify these 4 rakahs, reciting very beautifully in them, and he will lengthen them. Summa yusalli arba'an, after that you observe 4 rakah again. Fala taf'al an husnihin wa tulihin, don't ask about their beauty and their length, making 8 rakah. ثم يصلي ثلاثا, then he will observe 3 rakah. قالت عائشة, Aisha said, فقلت يا رسول الله, I said, O Messenger of Allah, أتنام قبل أن توتر, are you going to sleep before observing your witr? قال يا عائشة, he said, O عائشة, إن عيني تنامان, my eyes sleep, ولا ينام قلبي, but my heart does not sleep. متفق عليه, this is agreed upon. وفي رواية لهما, in a report by الإمام البخاري and Muslim, عنها from عائشة, كان يصلي من الليل 10 ركعات. She said, Messenger of Allah was up 10 ركعات at night. ويوتر بسجدتين, and you make witr with 1 rakah. وَيَرْكَعُ رَكَعْتَي الْفَجْرِ فَتِلْكَ ثَلَاثَ أَشْرَ, and you observe 2 rakah of fajr. Altogether, this will be 13 rakah. وَعَنْهَا, Likewise, from Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, she said, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يصلي من الليل 13 ركعة. Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم who observed 13 ركعة at night. يُوتِرُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ بِخَمْسٍ. 5 out of the 13 will be witru. لا يجلس في شيء إلا في آخرها. He will not sit while observing these 5 ركعة except at the last one. Now, if you look at this hadith, you have heard something 13, you have heard the 11 rakah. So, how will he, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do this? Now, when she said that Messenger of Allah will observe 4 rakah, 4 rakah, 3 rakah, some of the scholars, like Sheikh Al Albani alayhi rahmatullah, out of the opinion that you observe 4 at a go, then you will do tashahud and watch make taslim. Just like we say we observe 3 at a go, or 5 at a go, 7 at a go. So the Shaykh alayhi rahmatullah said, if you look at this hadith, you will observe 4 rakah. فَلَا تَسْأَلْ أَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَتُولِهِنَّ ثم يصلي أربع فلا تسأل عن أسنهن وطولهن. This shows that you observe 4 ركعات at a go, then you make what, tashahud, and you make taslim. Then you rise to make another 4 ركعات, and you make tashahud, make taslim. Then you now observe 3 ركعات at a go or so. So this was the understanding of the Shaykh alayhi rahmatullah. However, majority of the scholars, they do not subscribe to this interpretation. They said the 4 rakah mentioned by Aisha radiallahu anha is not that Messenger of Allah will observe them at a go, unlike what you have said with respect to 3 rakah at times, or 5 rakah, or 7 rakah. Rather, what he will do is to observe 2 rakah, then you make tashahud, make taslim. You observe 2 rakah, make tashahud, make taslim. He said that is the meaning of what is the 4 rakah. If you want to look at it on the surface, one may say the interpretation of Sheikh Al Albani alayhi rahmatullah is more correct. That is, if you look at it on the surface. But when we look at it from what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, Salatul Layl Masna Masna. The prayer of the night is 2 rakah. It's 2 rakah. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, he said, فَإِذَا خَشِيتَ السُّبْحَ, if you are afraid that subhu will catch up with you, dear, فَصَلِّ وَاحِدَ, observe 1 rakah. تُوتِرُ لَكَ مَا قَدْ صَلَّيْتَ. That will be the witru of what you have observed. It also comes in the form of third person. فَإِذَا خَشِيَ أَحْدُكُمُ السُّبْحَ, no one of you is afraid that subhu will catch up with him there. فَلِصَلِّ وَاحِدَ, he should observe 1 rakah. يُوتِرُ لَهُ مَا قَدْ صَلَّى. That will be the witru of what he has observed. So majority of the scholars said the masna masna, that Aisha radiallahu anha said, the 4 rakah that she said here, does not mean that there won't be break in between. That doesn't mean that there won't be break, so there will be break. Particularly we have hadith that she said what, 2 rakah. She also said that. So this is what majority of the scholars have said. So majority of the scholars, they do not believe in you observing 4 rakah to go. They don't believe in that. So you are going to break it into 2 rakah with taslim. But if it is witr that you want to observe, they are of the opinion that you can observe 1 rakah, make tashahud, make taslim. You can observe 3 rakah at a go, tashahud, taslim. 5 rakah at a go, tashahud, taslim. 7 rakah at a go, tashahud, taslim. Maybe this nine rakah you want to observe. The sunnah is to observe, is to stop at the eight rakah. Make tashahud, but not taslim. Then you rise for the ninth rakah, you do tashahud and you make taslim. Just as it has come in authentic hadith. So, wallahu a'lam, to tilt towards the interpretation of the jumhur of the scholars is better. But if you see one who abides by the understanding of Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, one cannot be harsh on that too, because the apparent meaning of the hadith supports that, though most scholars do not support it. Then the issue of 13 rakah, that he will observe 13 rakah. So in this case, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Aisha radiallahu anha, has added the rakat al-fajri to it to make it 13. To make it 13. So without the rakat al-fajri, it will go back to 11. That she had said. Though there are some reports that she was mentioning something like 15, that is plus the rakat al-fajri. And that's why some scholars have said that understanding that we cannot pray more than 11 rakah from this hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha will not be correct. Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, his position is that you cannot exceed 11 rakah. You can pray at night less than 11 rakah, but you must not exceed 11 rakah. Where did he get that? He got it from this statement of Aisha radiallahu anha, ma kana rasulullahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yazidu fi ramadan wala fi ghayrihi ala 11 rakah. Messenger of Allah will not exceed 11 rakah in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. So the areas where she mentioned 13, so the Sheikh used a statement in some of the narration to say she had added rakat al-fajr to it, or the sunnatul isha, the sunnah two rakah of after isha, or the two light rakah that one watch to observe before the Qiyam al-Layl. But no scholars do not support that. The fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not exceed 11 rakah, let's agree that it's 11 rakah, does not mean we cannot exceed 11 rakah, because he will lengthen his own Qiyam al-Layl, which we cannot do. Like in one of the nights, just in the rakah, he observed one rakah, which Suratul Fatiha, then Suratul Baqarah. So when he got to verse 100, the companion that was praying with him, who decided to join him willingly, he said when he got to 100 rakah, he felt he would go to Rukur. But Messenger of Allah continued till he finished the whole of Baqarah. And the whole of Baqarah is two juz'u plus, maybe two juz'u and a quarter. In the haram, even in the past, when I say in the past, some years back, where they will observe 23 or so rakah, when they will observe 20 rakah, the 20 rakah they will observe is just with one juz'u. They will share one juz'u into 20 rakah. But here, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in just a single rakah, he read the whole Surah to Baqarah. Why? They will use what? One juz'u. For what? For 20 rakah. They will break. And with this, they will be spending something close to maybe 1.5 hours in that. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam read the whole of Surah Al-Baqarah. He didn't stop that. He jumped to Surah Al-Nisa. He finished everything. Then he came back to us, Surah to Ali Imran. He finished everything. So the companion said he intended evil. And he was asked, what evil was that? He said he wanted to leave. So if he observed one raka with three suwar, how many suwar will he reach towards to finish the 11 raka? So which means he could spend more than maybe 5 hours in what in his qiyamul layl, and he will not exceed 11 raka. So who can do that amongst us today? If you have a masjid where the people, I mean during Ramadan, where their taraweeh will be watched, will be about 3 or 4 hours. Most people will run away from such a masjid. So if you now want to emulate the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in number of raka, not emulating him in how he lengthened the raka, so that will not be a good emulation. So, but if you can observe as many raka as 20, or as 30 something, or as what, as 40 something, then there is no harm in that. So you will read what the number of what the raka that of verses that you can reach in each raka. So, and that's why most scholars, this is what they are upon. This is what they were upon. In Mecca, people observe what 20 raka in the past, plus witr, maybe 23 or so. In Medina, they might observe maybe about 42 or 46 raka. I mean in the past, before now. When I say in the past, during the time of the Salaf, some will observe 36. So it depends on how strong you are. So, majority of the scholars have said what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Salatul Layl Masna Masna. The prayer of the night is 2-2 raka as subject matter. So it depends on how strong you are. So for us to say you should not exceed 11 raka. Why? Because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will not exceed 11 raka in Ramadan and outside Ramadan. Okay. We take the number. What about you lengthen it? فَلَا تَسْأَلْ أَنْ حُسْنِهِنَّ وَتُولِئِنَّ. Are we going to take that? So if you take the number of raka and you refuse to take the number of the length, so you have not emulated the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is good for one to go back to what? Salatul Layl Masna Masna. The prayer of the night is 2-2 raka. So it depends on how strong you are. So if you feel like what reading 20 verses in every raka, or 25 verses in every, or 30 verses, this they will do during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. So some will decide to watch 30 verses or 25 verses or 20 verses in every raka during the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. So it depends on how fast some of the reciters were. So those who are very fast in the recitation, you say they should cite 30 verses. Those who are a bit slow, you ask them to recite 25 verses in every raka. And those who are very slow, so they will recite 20 verses. So the time that somebody who is very slow would take to recite 20 verses, they end up being the same thing with that of the person that is a bit slow, not as slow as the other person. Why the one who is fast in recitation, the time that you take to recite 30 verses may be the same thing as the two others. So this is the way Umar radiallahu anhu planned it. So they will be spending almost the same time in each raka. So the point here is that the hadith that we should not exceed, that the Messenger of Allah will not exceed 11 raka, does not mean it is wrong to exceed 11 raka. Aisha radiallahu anha was only narrating what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would do, because what the time will permit him to do, Not that it is wrong to exhibit. So, and that's why if we go to Sunnah Tirmidhi, he mentioned how the Salaf who observe their Taraweeh, those who observe 36 Raka, 40 something Raka, he mentioned all these 20 Raka, he mentioned all this. And a very good evidence is what Abu Dawood, likewise Al-Imam Tirmidhi, reported in their Sunan. In Sunan Abi Dawood, it was reported that a companion called Talq bin Ali, this companion visited his son, Qais bin Talq bin Ali, and he led them in Salatul Taraweeh. He led them in Salatul Taraweeh, plus with them. Then he left their place and he went back to his own house. He led them in Salatul Taraweeh again. So when it was time for him to observe witr, he refused to observe another witr. He said to his people that they should watch, they should observe their own witr, because the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "La witrani fi laylatin." We don't observe two witr in a night. So the story is here, like that. The story is here. So then we have it, the explanation of the scholars on something like that in Sunan Tirmidhi as well. The story is not in Tirmidhi, only the hadith, La witrani fi laylatin, no two witr in the night. But in Sunan Abi Dawood, the story is there. In Sunan Tirmidhi, the explanation, all the scholars have explained La witrani fi laylatin, that you don't observe two witr at night. You know, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ij'alu akhira salatikum bil layli witra." Let the last thing you observe at night be witr. So that was the reason he did not want to repeat what the witr. Though that doesn't mean we cannot observe something after witr. So that was why he observed it. That was why he observed more raka after the witr. Only that he didn't repeat the witr. However, some scholars are of the opinion that the witr that you have observed before, if you wake up, you want to observe more salah. Take, for instance, somebody who observes his witr after Isha because he's afraid that he may not wake up. Then he wakes up. Is he going to say because he has observed his witr, he can no longer observe salah? So scholars say he can observe. But what is he going to do? Some said he should watch. He should do naqdul witr. The witr that he has observed, he should break it by adding one raka. He will bring one raka. Then he will do a tashahud and make the sleep. That one raka will be watched, will be abrogating the witr that he observed. So he can observe as many raka as possible. Then he can now end it up with what? With one raka. So that will be that what he applying the hadith, "Ij'alu akhira salatikum bil layli witra." So Imam Tirmidhi mentioned something like this. Then he said some of the scholars, some of the companions are of the opinion that he does not need to watch, he doesn't need to break the witr. He should leave the witr like that. But he can just get up and pray as many raka as what as possible. But he will make it witr. He will make it even. So and this is exactly what Talq bin Ali practiced in the hadith. So Imam Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah did the explanation. Why Imam Abu Dawood brought the story that led to Talq bin Ali mentioning that statement. So, Wallahu A'lam, as we said, you can pray more than 11 raka. So, Sheikh Al-Albani alayhi rahmatullah, some scholars are those that, as I said, you cannot pray more than 11 raka. Some try to justify that by saying in the daytime, salatu, after salatu dhuhr or before salatu dhuhr, you observe two rakah. Then after salatu dhuhr, you observe two rakah. That will be four rakah. After salatu maghrib, you observe two rakah. That will be six. Before salatu subhi, you observe how many? Two rakah. That's eight. Then salatu isha, you also observe two. They say that is what? That is 10. So if you are asked to observe 10 rakah for the rawatib, that is if you are not adding two. So if for, that is for the day. Then for the night, if you also observe 11 rakah, so that will be a kind of what being tally. So some scholars will try to justify. But what most scholars are upon is that you can observe as many rakah as possible. Based on the hadith, Salatul Layl, Masna, Masna. You can continue to observe two rakah at night. Fa'idha khashita subha. But when you are afraid that subh is coming, fa'awtir bi wahida, observe one. Tutir laka ma qad sallayt. That will be the witr of what you have observed. وعنها قالت from our mother Aisha, she said, من كل ليل قد أوتر رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فانتهى وتره إلى السحر. This one of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم had observed witr in all the parts of the night. Then his witr ended at the time of what? Sahar. So as you said, that you can observe the witr immediately after Salatul Isha. So you can observe it anytime. And the end of witr is what? Is Salatul Al-Isha. As well as Salatul Fajr. So inshallah we stop here. Subhanaka la wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. وأنتم كذلك. Now the question is, somebody who wakes up late, maybe the sun has risen, which means that the time for Fajr has gone out. So he wakes up and he has not observed his witr, nor has he observed his rakat al-Fajr, not to talk of the main Fajr. So can he observe the witr, then the rakat al-Fajr, then Salatul Subh? Yes, he can observe it in that sequence, because the witr comes before the rakat al-Fajr, and the rakat al-Fajr comes before the Fajr prayer itself. This is because the sun has already risen. Well, let's assume that the sun is about to rise when he wakes up. Should he busy himself with the witr, or he should just move straight towards to Salatul Subh? He should move straight to Salatul Subh. He should move straight to Salatul Subh, because the time for Salatul Subh to go out is what? Is very close. So he should observe Salatul Subh. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man adraka raka'atan min al-subh qabla an tatlu' ash-shamsu faqad adrakaha. Whoever catches up with a rakah of subh before the sun rises has indeed caught up with the salah. So this is what should be done. But if the sun has already risen, so there is nothing I is trying to watch to catch up with, so he can pray his way through, then his rakat al-fajri, then his Salatul Fajr. This happened to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he did it that way. So he did it that way. So they traveled one day, and they had to sleep in the night, very close to the time of Sahar. But they were all weak. They were all weak. So he instructed Bilal to watch the night for them, but Bilal also slept off. So it was only the heat of the sun that woke them up. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said they should quit or leave this point, that point. And they left the point and they observed their Rakat al-Fajri. Then they observed the Fajr prayer. So this is the way one should do it. Allahu a'lam. Now, this question has been asked several times, and that is, are we supposed to recite Surah Al-Fatiha behind the Imam or not? So scholars, they differ on this. Some said if it is Salah that is Sirriya, that Imam does not recite aloud. We are expected to recite because we can hear the Imam. And what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said is that وَإِذَا قُرَى الْقُرْآنَ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. If the Quran is being recited, listen and will be attentive. So we cannot hear the recitation. So we are going to apply the hadith, لَا صَلَاةَ لِمَنْ لَمْ يَقْرَى بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ. So the one who doesn't recite Surah Al-Fatiha has no salah. But if the Imam is reciting aloud, so in that case we apply the verse, فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْصِتُوا. So this is the way the Jumhur of the scholars have said. However, the Jumhur have said that you have to recite Surah Al-Fatiha if the Imam is reciting silently. They also see as something that is compulsory, but not to the level that if you don't recite it, you have no watch, you have no salah. It's compulsory on you to recite, but not that if you don't recite it, you have no salah. That is, if you are praying behind the Imam now. If you are praying behind the Imam. So, and that's why some of them are of the opinion that the hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Man kana lahu imamun fa qira'atu al-imami lahu qira'ah. So, whoever has an Imam, the recitation of the Imam suffices. That is, if you are praying behind an Imam, recitation of the Imam suffices. So, this hadith, a lot of scholars of hadith said is what is da'if. Likewise, we have some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that said, La qira'ata ma'al imami fi shay'in. This is Sahih Muslim. There is no recitation when you are praying behind the Imam. So, the one who is praying behind the Imam, particularly if the Imam is reciting aloud, the majority of the scholars said he shouldn't recite. And if the Imam is reciting silently, they encourage him to recite. But does that mean that if he doesn't recite, he has no salah? So a lot of them did not go to that level. Did not go to that level. However, minority among the scholars, they are of the opinion that you have to recite. Whether the Imam is reciting aloud or is reciting silently. And if you do not recite, you have no salah. This is the view of Al-Imam Al-Bukhari, Ali Rahmatullah. Likewise, it is said to be the position of Abu Uraira radiallahu anhu and Ibn Hazmi and Barakfuri and many others like that, that you have to recite. You have to recite. So these people, they were asked on this matter to the extent that if you meet the Imam in Ruku, they believe you have lost that rakah. Because you do not have the opportunity to watch. To recite Surah Al-Fatiha. Why some of them said no? It is only the one who meets the Imam in standing position that the hadith is applicable to. But the one who meets the Imam in ruku, he has already he has left that position. Yes, we say Surah Al-Fatiha is what is compulsory on him. So, and this is the view of Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Alimah Rahmatullah. So, to be on the safe side, try to recite Surah Al-Fatiha while you are behind the Imam. Whether the Imam is reciting silently or the Imam is reciting aloud, to be on the safe side. So, wallahu a'lam. Now the question is, somebody who recites only Surah Al-Fatiha in standing position, in the fourth or second raka of Zuhr or Asri or Isha or Maghrib, and the person gets to Ruku, he remembers that he has not added a Surah. So can he recite the Surah there? No, it's wrong for you to recite the Quran while you are in Ruku. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inni nuhitu an aqra al-Qur'an raki'an aw sajidan." I've been forbidden to recite the Quran in ruku and watch in sujood. So it is not compulsory to add surah to Surah Al-Fatiha. It's not compulsory to add. If somebody says only Surah Al-Fatiha in all the four raka or the three raka or the two raka, so it's enough. It's enough. Only it is good to add what? To add surah, another surah, to the first and the second raka. So, and if one adds to the third, if it is Maghrib, or the third and fourth raka, if it is Zuhr Asri or Isha, so this is also acceptable, as it is established that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu did that, as contained in what of Imam Malik Ali rahmatullah. No, it's possible. yes. No, it's clear. The companion who narrated this said he started with Surah Al-Baqarah and he felt that he would stop at verse 100, but he continued till he finished it. He jumped to Ali Imran, finished it. He came back to Surah Al-Nisa, finished it. So it is clear. But this might take about maybe 4 or so hours. That is, when I say 4 or so hours, I'm talking about the whole salat. Let's assume he didn't reach that much in other raka'at, for instance. But ordinary is that you have said, if you want to read a juz, if you are somebody that is somehow fast, not too fast and not too slow, at least you spend 20 minutes to recite a juz. So meaning if you want to finish Surah Al-Baqarah alone, so you'll be spending about 40-something minutes. That is, if you are not too fast, not too slow. But if you are too slow, you will spend, what, an hour just on Surah Al-Baqarah. So let's assume that maybe Surah Al-Imran and Surah Al-Nisa, maybe you spend maybe about 1.5 hours or close to that. So that means what the Messenger of Allah read in just one rakah, at least he will spend about 2.5 hours or more. And we were taught that he will do the tertil of what of the verses. So the tertil, what it means is that maybe he will stop at the end of every ayah. That is what tertil means here. He will recite, stopping at the end of what every ayah. Now, the issue of somebody being fast in recitation, that's a different thing. Somebody may be fast in recitation and will be stopping at the end of what? Each verse. But the person is fast in his what? In his recitation. And that's why I said, Umar said, instructed those who lead people in prayer during his time in Taraweeh. If he saw somebody that was very fast, he would say what? He should recite 30 verses in every rakah. The one that is in between, ask him to recite 25. The one that is very slow, you ask him to recite what? 20. So the one that is very slow and the one that is in between and the one that is fast, at the end of the day, they will be spending the same time in your recitation. But they have recited a different number of words of verses. So, wallahu alam. Okay. Now. Okay. Okay. Now the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The question is observing 2 or 4 rakah after Salatu al-Jum'ah. So people do this. So what is the importance? So is it 2 or 4? Now both are correct, and they are what is just like a continuation of the rawatib that we observe after Salatu al-Zuhr. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam observed 2 rakah after Salatu al-Jum'ah. And in a report as contains in Muslim, he said, "Man kana musalliyan ba'd al-Jum'ah falyusalli 4." Whoever wants to observe Salah after Salatu al-Jum'ah should observe 4 rakah. So and that's why some scholars of the opinion that if you want to observe it in the masjid, you observe 4 rakah. But if you want to observe it at home, you observe 2 rakah. So that's why Imam Ahmad alayhi rahmatullah said one should combine. That is, you observe 4 in the masjid and you observe 2 when you get home. So what if one just observes 2 rakah in the masjid, so one has also done the sunnah. Wallahu a'lam. Next time. Ameen. Now the question is, based on the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that says, whoever recites 10 verses at night, the person will not be considered among the ghafilun, the negligent ones. So if one now says at night you will be observing just 1 rakah as witr, as you have said, and he recites Surah Al-Fatiha plus Surah Al-Ikhlas, so will he fall under this hadith? Definitely he falls under it. He falls under it. So, but we encourage that we do more than that. Instead of just 10 verses, so one should try to go to 100 verses so that one will be written among those that have watched, that have crossed. So that is better. So by observing maybe 5 or so rakah, so one may achieve that. So maybe in the first rakah, you read maybe about 30 or 40 verses. In the second rakah, you do similar thing. Then you bring the normal way through the, Sabbi Isma Rabbika al-A'la. Then كل أيها الكافرون and كل هو الله أحد. So you say this once in watching the remaining three rakats. So maybe add the Al-Ma'awidatan to them again. So with this you reach more than 100 verses. Those are the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has preached. Then one can do more than that. So some people, they use 2 hours, an hour, like that. So Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen Ali Rahmatullah, we always encourage that at least we try to spend 30 minutes every night in your night prayer, at least. So this is good. But if one is unable to do that, so we'll not be harsh on people. So what is easy for you may not be easy for other people. And that's why Islam is a very good religion. When it comes to fasting, some people are very good, while some people are not that good at that area. So, but they may be good at nafila. So, whichever one is easy for you, you try to do it well. So, nas'alullah al-qabool. Now, last question, inshallah. Now, the question is, can we use the Mus'haf in our Salatul Layl? Yes, you can do that. You can do that. So, Aisha radiallahu anha had a free slave called Dakwan that will lead her in Salatul Layl, particularly in Ramadan. And the man will be reading from the Mus'haf. So, Al-Imam Ahmad and some scholars, they will prefer that because you will not, you try as much as possible to avoid what committing blunders, unlike when you rely on what from your memorization. So it's good. There is nothing wrong with that. So Allahu A'lam. Subhanaka Allahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.